of messages on undeniable dispensational distinctions. And that's a long title, but it's really very simple. And that is, the idea there is that there are distinctions in your Bible between the prophetic program that was associated with the nation Israel and the mystery program that was given to the Apostle Paul for the church, the body of Christ. Now, I know you can go through the Bible and you can identify all kind of dispensations and different ways in which God dealt with men. But for this study, we're primarily looking at Israel versus the church, the body of Christ. And there's a difference in the doctrine for those two entities. There's a difference in the doctrine as related to Israel and the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. And because people refuse to acknowledge that, there's mass confusion in the religious system today. And most of the errors that are taught in religion today are taught because people refuse to do exactly what Paul said here in 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the word of truth. The scripture indicates that if you can, or it would indicate that if you could rightly divide the word of truth, then you could wrongly divide the word of truth. And everybody in religion that studies the Bible at all, they divide the Bible somewhere. The most common division is simply between the Old and the New Testament. And yet, when you get to the New Testament, God Almighty has already divided it for you, if you will, because you have the books concerning Christ's earthly ministry show up as the first four books of what's called the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have a transitional book, the book of Acts, and that has to do with moving from prophecy to the mystery program. And then you have the next 13 epistles in your Bible are those of the Apostle Paul, who said he is the apostle of the Gentiles and was given the dispensation of the grace of God and so forth. Then you have Hebrews through Revelation, which deals with the future, that which is to come. Now, last week, we looked at several distinctions, and I'll just read over these quickly or go over them quickly. Number one, we saw that under the prophetic kingdom message, salvation was always manifested by some type of works. Not that works would save, but there were works that were manifested as a result of being saved under the law as well as the kingdom doctrine. For example, Peter said, "I perceive that in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Whereas Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us. The second thing we saw was that Christ specifically taught his disciples and others to keep the law. Paul said, we're not under the law. We saw that water baptism was necessary to be identified with the nation Israel. Thus, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. In the dispensation of the grace of God, Paul said there's just one baptism, and that baptism is the baptism by the Spirit, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We also saw that Jesus Christ taught that forgiveness of sins was conditional. He said in Matthew chapter 6, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Paul said in Colossians 2:13, he's already forgiven you all trespasses. And then the last thing we looked at was that Jesus Christ very specifically taught that there was an unpardonable sin. That is, that there was a sin for which there was no forgiveness in the world then, nor the world to come. Paul said, by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, the next thing I want us to look at today is the fact that both prophecy, both the kingdom message and the grace message obviously included the gospel. But the gospel is referred to in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the gospel of the kingdom. As a matter of fact, near the end of Christ's ministry, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I want you to look back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, in Matthew 4:23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Look over in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Now, what was that good news of the kingdom? In other words, the word gospel throughout the Bible always carries the same meaning. And it's very simple. You just look it up. It means good news. The good news. If somebody came running through that back door this morning and said, "Hey, have you heard the good news?" You know what your first question would be? What good news? Well, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached was good news. Notice in Matthew 10, we see what that good news is. Verse 5, Jesus Christ is sending out His 12 disciples. And He says there, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The fact that the king was there, they could preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was good news. That was really good news to the nation Israel, for that's what they had been looking for hundreds of years, the coming of the Messiah. If you don't believe it's good news, go back sometime and read Luke chapter 1, particularly what Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, wrote there, and he writes about the wonderful news of the coming Messiah. And so the gospel of the kingdom was that the Messiah, this Jesus that is here, is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, we know that they rejected Him. See, people say, well, then the gospel of the kingdom ended at the death, burial, and resurrection. No, Peter, James, and John continued to preach the same message. We saw in Sunday school this morning that which they preached was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip asked him, he said, "Do you believe?" He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he said, "Well, then, here's water." And they went down and they baptized him. Now, I want to say something, and I want you to understand, particularly those of you who are listening over the radio and other by other means. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God will not save anybody today in the dispensation of the grace of God. There are multitudes of people that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe He is the virgin-born Son of God, but they have not trusted in the fact that He died for their sins. How do I know that? Because they're still confessing them. There are multitudes of people this morning that will go to an altar and will ask for forgiveness of sins and confess their sins. And if you ask those people, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" Every one of them will say yes. But they do not believe that Christ died for all of their sins. They don't understand that He paid for all their sins. If they did, they wouldn't still be confessing them. Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel Paul preached. He said Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel of Christ. And in Romans 1:16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth." And what is interesting is that many Bibles, you can read Romans 1:16, and there's a very important two words that are left out. It will say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation." Well, then the question arises, which gospel? Well, you see, for most people, that's not an issue because most people believe there's only one gospel anyway. But come on, folks, there's the gospel of the kingdom preached by Jesus Christ, preached by the 12, and by the way, that gospel of the kingdom that they were sent forth to preach in Matthew 10 did not include the death, burial, and resurrection. How do we know that? Because over in Matthew chapter 16, in Matthew 16, verse 21, the Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Well, how in the world could the gospel of the kingdom that they were told to preach in Matthew 10 include the death, burial, and resurrection when they didn't even know it? Well, obviously it couldn't. But you see, people fail to just simply read the words on the page and believe they mean what they say. Man told me this past week that he had someone listen to the broadcast, and they asked him, they said, "Well, why would you follow what that man believes?" He said, "Well, did you listen to the last part of the message?" He said, "What was pointed out was he never gave opinions on these things. It's what the verses say, folks. That's what's important, is what saith the Word of God." The Bible says right here, they didn't know he was going to die. If they didn't know he was going to die, they couldn't have been preaching he was going to die. Thus, the gospel of the kingdom didn't include that he was going to die. The gospel of the kingdom included there was a king coming. And that's what they were looking forward to. Now, he revealed some things to them over in Luke chapter 24. He opened their eyes into the scriptures and so forth about him. But at this time, when they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, they didn't know that he was going to die. When God Almighty saved the Apostle Paul, I believe immediately Paul saw and was revealed to the Apostle Paul that Christ died for his sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day. And Paul preached that gospel, and it is not the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, and that's what Paul calls it. Things that differ simply are not the same. Now, there's another fact that people overlook many times that is very important in relation to this gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news that Christ is the Messiah. And so when Peter is preaching over in Acts chapter 2 about the Messiah, he preaches, and three or four times there in Acts chapter 2, he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, who is they? The house of Israel. When the house of Israel heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You see, there are multitudes of people today that they have real difficulty with that verse because they believe the Bible means what it says, but they don't believe in baptismal regeneration. Well, when you look at the Bible dispensationally, it clears up the whole issue. They were to be baptized for the remission of sins, and when you get over to Acts chapter 3, verse 19, notice what Peter said. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted." Now notice the tense of the verse. "That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You see, the message that Peter preached was that sins would be blotted. In other words, they were baptized for the remission of sins, but those sins would not be blotted out until the second coming. Paul preached that Christ died for our sins. Thus, we now, currently, presently, at this very moment, have forgiveness of sins. As a matter of fact, sin is not even the issue when it comes to salvation. Most of the religious world, maybe you, maybe somebody listening to this message, you believe that salvation is getting your sins forgiven. That's not salvation. Your sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Amen. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. Say, well then, if sin's not the issue, what is the issue? The issue is belief. It's to everyone that believeth. You see, you accept that free gift of salvation by believing that Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He was raised again the third day. That's not what Peter preached. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And he said, be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know what Peter's talking about there? He's talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. And He's going to establish the new covenant with the nation Israel. Read Jeremiah chapter 31. Read Hebrews chapter 8 sometime. And you will see clearly that God Almighty is going to establish the new covenant with Israel. And part of that covenant is He'll remember their sins no more. That was according to what Peter preached and James and John and the 12 disciples. But Paul never preached that your sins would be blotted out at the second coming. As a matter of fact, over in Romans chapter 5, he makes it very clear where we stand in relation to sins. He says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, which includes everybody. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now. I love that word. But now, he says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. When were we reconciled? Well, according to the verse, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That took place at Calvary. 2 Corinthians 5, I quoted a moment ago. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Israel was still looking for that as that kingdom program faded away. We already have it. That is an undeniable dispensational distinction. The fact that Israel's sins were held in remission, and they will be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, whereas we already have that forgiveness. Now, the next thing I want you to notice. Look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we find that, again, Peter is preaching to the nation Israel. And he says in verse 28, Acts 2:28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You see, that was very important to the nation Israel in light of what we just read a moment ago. Why? Because it was not until he returned to sit on that throne that their sins were blotted out, taken care of, the new covenant. And so when Peter is preaching the death, burial, and resurrection, number one, he preaches it as a murder indictment. Whereas Paul said he gloried in the cross. But Peter also was looking forward to the fact that Christ was going to return. I personally, and I know probably a lot of people disagree with this, but I believe that Peter and James and John, when they began preaching, believed that they were in the 70th week of Daniel and that Christ would return in about 7 years. Whether they did or not, they were looking for his return. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 1, they asked him the question, "Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" So I know that's where their mindset was. So when Peter is preaching, he says that God has raised up Christ to sit on the throne of David. Well, notice what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He said, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Now, I understand that Paul is referring there to the gospel that he preached. And that gospel was that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. But Paul says that he was raised according to my gospel. So the gospel included death, burial, and resurrection. But there was something else that included. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, "Who," talking about Christ, "was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." And in Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about the day in which God will judge the world according to my gospel, he calls it. So what Paul said in relation to the resurrection, they're both talking about the same resurrection. I mean, there was only one resurrection of Christ. Peter, James, and John, Paul, they all preached the death, burial, and resurrection. The difference is that Peter said the reason Christ was raised up was to sit on the throne of David. Paul said he was raised for our justification. You know why? Because by the time he returns to sit on the throne of David, we will have been taken away from here and we'll rule and reign with him. That's not our hope for him to return to earth. Our hope is for him to catch us up in the air. So Peter preached one thing about the resurrection having one significance. Paul preached something totally different. Next thing I want you to notice, look in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, the Bible says, in Paul, our apostle, in relation to the ministry of Jesus Christ, he says there in Romans 15, verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." The circumcision, obviously, are Jews, the nation Israel. Remember the verse we read in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, nor into any city of Samaritan or not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The circumcision is Israel. Well, you know, the religious system paints the picture that Jesus Christ came and it's his own and they received him not, and so he was, you know, ministering to the whole world and so forth. Well, read Matthew 15 and you'll see that's simply not the case, where a woman comes to him and beseeches him to heal her daughter. But the fact is that Paul said in reference to Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, notice, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Well, if you look down in verse 16, Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God that the offering of Gentiles might be acceptable. Back in Romans chapter 11, where Paul is dealing with the nation Israel and what's become of the nation Israel, he says in Romans 11:13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." You see, folks, when you talk about the apostle Paul and you point these things out, generally the common response is, well, you worship Paul. You put way too much emphasis on the Apostle Paul. Listen, we place no more emphasis on the Apostle Paul than God Almighty did. I mean, after all, he wrote 13 books in your Bible, Romans through Philemon. He said over and over again that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. He said he was given the gospel of, it was his ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, he said he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. It wasn't Paul's fault that God chose him. It's not our fault that he chose it. The fact is God chose, he said he was a chosen vessel as one born out of due time. And God Almighty chose the Apostle Paul, committed unto him these truths for us today in this present dispensation. Jesus Christ, obviously, was the only Redeemer. But in his earthly ministry, he was a minister of the circumcision. Paul was the minister of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. And that's why we teach and we preach, as the Bible does, that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. And in his writings alone, we find the walk, the position, the salvation, and so forth for the church, which is his body. In Matthew chapter 10, as I mentioned a moment ago, when Jesus sends out those 12, he sends them not to the Gentiles. And as they go forward, they have a specific ministry. And that ministry includes the healing, casting out demons, and so forth. The Apostle Paul, although he had all the gifts of those apostles, later on in his ministry, we see that he no longer had the ability to heal. And so, you know what God did? He gave him a doctor to travel with him. He told Timothy, he said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Folks, what I'm pointing out is there were some changes that took place in your Bible. And those changes took place because there was a dispensational difference. And that dispensational difference is a glorious truth. And it is one that will bring freedom like you never knew before when you acknowledge and understand that you're not operating under the kingdom doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul said, we are not under the law. We've been made free from the law. You're not under the law of the Old Testament. You're not under the law of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're not even under the instructions of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're under the instructions of your apostle, the Apostle Paul. People say, well, I believe you ought to follow the teachings of Jesus. Well, let me say to you, the teachings of Jesus for you today are found in Romans through Philemon. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The only way you can properly understand your Bible is to rightly divide the word of truth as the Apostle Paul instructed.